Okay, welcome everyone to class two of the new talking about digestive health and weight management. This is also really a nutrition course because at the end of the day, what you'll discover is that things that are good for your digestion are good for your body, they're good for your health, and they're good for weight loss and fitness. So it's not a nutrition course in terms of how much fat should I have, how much sugar, how much protein. It's more a nutrition course, which you'll learn over the next hour. It's more a nutrition course in terms of what is healthy for my digestion, what will my body be able to digest, is this fat good for digestion or bad for digestion, is this sugar good for digestion or bad for digestion. And then when you start asking questions in that way, instead of how many calories you're having or how much protein you're having, when you start asking questions in terms of digestion, it's really one-stop shopping because it's going to be good for your body, it's going to be good for weight. And I'm going to give you a lot of information in this class, but I want you to learn more the concepts of why digestion is important rather than just memorize the facts that I tell you. So there's two ways to learn. One is through memorization and one is through understanding the principles. For example, if you spoke French fluently and you heard a song in French, it'd be really, really easy for you to remember that French because it means something to you. You understand the concepts. You understand the principles. You understand what it's saying. So you don't have to just memorize the sounds. If you didn't speak French at all and you were asked to memorize the song, it would be very, very hard because the sentences don't mean anything to you. And if you say, it could say pony, it could say gate, it could say umbrella, and nothing means anything to you. So it's just pure memorization, and that's very hard to do. With this class, I'm going to give you a lot of facts. I don't want you to worry about memorizing any of the facts. I want you to stay focused on the concept. And the concept is really, really simple. Your digestion is one long string from your mouth to your anus. And that's that tube, it's one long tube, that tube has to be working right. If that tube's not working right, there's a lot of problems. And so that's what I want you to stay focused on, is that it's simply a long tube from your mouth down to your anus, and we have to get that tube working right. So what helps with that tube working right? What hurts it? Why do so many things that we do in today's world hurt it so much? And what can we do simply to get it working right? So I want you to stay focused on the concepts rather than pure memorization, because it'll be much easier for you to absorb the principles if you stay focused on the concepts. So as I mentioned, digestion is essential for weight loss. It's important in all aspects of health and fitness, and most people don't pay any attention to digestion at all, and that is definitely a huge mistake. So what is your digestion? As I said, it's simply a long tube that goes from your mouth down to your anus. It's got four different one-way valves or sphincters so that food is pushed from your mouth down to your anus through these one-way valves. They only go one way. So there's one in your, you see, if you look at the drawing there, there's your mouth, and then there's a tube down from your mouth down through your throat into your stomach. That's called your esophagus. Then there's a one-way valve that passes food into your stomach from there, and then from your stomach into your small intestine, and from your small intestine into your large intestine, and from your large intestine down into down out of your anus, and each one is its own kind of a microbiome. It's its own living environment that's separate from the other because of these valves or these sphincters that are stopping food from going backwards. So everything keeps going forward. And if we look here, this is a real basic overview of the digestion process. So we start really. What we're doing with digestion is we are taking food and we are breaking it down to smaller and smaller and smaller particles so that they're so small that they can pass through the lining of our intestines into our bloodstream and then into our cells, and then the waste goes out of your anus. So that is what digestion is. So if you look at it, if you look at these boxes here, it starts by chewing. Chewing is the act of breaking down food into smaller particles. There's also in your saliva, there are some digestive enzymes that break foods down further. Then it goes into your stomach. In your stomach, you've got digestive enzymes, which are proteins that all they're meant to do is break foods down. It's a chemical process. They act as chemical catalysts. There's different types of enzymes. There's enzymes that break down proteins called protease. There's enzymes that break down fats called lipase. And there's enzymes that break down sugar also. And all of these different enzymes break the foods down. The acid in your stomach breaks down proteins and breaks foods down also. And so foods through your stomach, through the acids and the enzymes, food gets broken down into smaller particles and then passes into your intestines. Now, there's a couple of things that happen in your intestines. One is that you have bacteria in your intestines. And this is probably the most important component of digestion and overall health, is getting the bacteria in your intestines, in your small intestines and your large intestines right. So you need to get the bacteria right. So bacteria are living organisms as opposed to enzymes. A lot of people ask, what's the difference between an enzyme and a digestive bacteria, or friendly bacteria? Bacteria are living organisms that cohabitate with us. So in our body, we have 500 trillion different bacteria, whereas we only have 70 trillion cells, but we have 500 trillion bacteria. So there's 7 or 8 times as many bacteria in our body as there are cells in our body. And these bacteria are living organisms that we cohabitate with. You could even make the argument that we are those bacteria as much as we are our cells. If you want to break down what we are as humans, we're more bacteria than we are cells. And those bacteria have their own DNA, and this is a really important part. They have their own DNA, and they have the ability to affect our DNA. They can get our cells to affect our DNA so that our cells produce hormones and other enzymes and everything else that they need to survive. But one of the things that they do is they break down food for us. So it's a symbiotic relationship that we have with this bacteria, where we eat some of the food and they eat some of the food. So they, by their process, once the food goes into the intestines, by their process of eating some of the food, it's breaking the food down into smaller particles. And then it travels through our intestines, and as the particles get so small, it then goes right through the lining of our intestines into our bloodstream and into our cells. And then the remainder goes out of our anus as waste. And that's the process of digestion. And we're going to talk about each part of it, where things can go wrong, from the enzymes to the acids to the bacteria as we go. And I'll just get started with a couple of things that can affect our digestion and make it go wrong. And it basically all comes down to the fact that modern day diets cause problems that make us and the way we live maladapted to where we are and to digestion. So for one thing, we chew the food. We chew food too quickly. We don't chew it enough. We're all in a hurry. We're all stressed out. And so the food goes into your stomach in too large a sizes, and that causes some problems. It's not the biggest problem by any means in terms of digestion, but it's a problem. Also, then once we get into the stomach, many of us do not produce enough stomach acid. It's a huge, huge problem. As a matter of fact, many of us, not all of us, but many of us that have acid reflux, over 90% of the people that have acid reflux have it because they are not producing enough stomach acid. And then we take antacids, and that actually makes the problem worse. It makes the symptoms better, but it makes the problem worse because we're suppressing what little acid we do produce. So if we're not producing enough acid, we're not digesting our proteins enough, and that causes a huge problem. We also lack digestive enzymes. We lack digestive enzymes because our immune system is overworked, and our immune system is competing for those enzymes, and because there's not that many enzymes in the food we eat. So most live food has enzymes, but we don't eat that much live food. So there's not that many enzymes in the food we eat. So the combination of not having enough enzymes in the food we eat and us not being able to produce enough enzymes means that we're lacking enzymes. So So you start just from the beginning where we're not chewing our food enough, then we're not producing enough acid, and then we're not producing enough enzymes. So already we are not doing our job at stage 1, 2, and 3 of the digestion process. And that's a problem. So there's lots of other problems that we'll talk about, but one of the biggest problems with digestion, just jumping ahead for 1 second, is how it affects your immune system. So through our spleen and our intestines, our digestion produces white blood cells and is largely responsible for the health of our immune system. When our digestion is suffering, we are not producing enough white blood cells. Our immune system is suffering. We are dumping toxins into our body, through our intestines, which I'll talk about in a minute, through something called leaky gut. But all of these different things are causing all these other symptoms of digestive problems, such as not only food allergies, but most allergies, thyroid problems. In fact, many different things that are chronic issues, like chronic fatigue syndrome, fibromyalgia, and many different chronic things, Hashimoto's disease, all these autoimmune problems that we have are caused by the fact that our digestion is suffering. Also, we tend to overuse antibiotics. Now, antibiotics are essential for certain times, but they're not essential all the time. And when you take antibiotics, you kill the friendly bacteria in your intestines. And that is a huge problem because then you develop unfriendly bacteria. So unfriendly bacteria starts to then go into your intestines and proliferate your intestines and cause sugar cravings and junk food cravings and yeasts and fungus and parasites and all of these different things, so that your intestines become overrun with unfriendly bacteria. And these unfriendly bacteria can feed off of sugar, and they can cause sugar cravings. So it's a very frustrating scenario where you're trying to fight sugar cravings, but the bacteria that you have in your intestines is unfriendly. And if the bacteria in your intestines is unfriendly, then it's going to be causing sugar cravings because that's what it lives off of, and it actually can hijack your DNA, can hijack your hormonal system, and it can cause sugar cravings for its own survival, not for yours. And that's why it's so crucial to have the right bacteria in your intestines, because the wrong bacteria will cause sugar cravings and will cause your body to fight you when you try to lose weight, because it's a threat to the survival of this unfriendly bacteria that's taken hold of and hijacked basically your intestines. And I talked a little bit in the last class about how important bacteria is, and I'll just give you a couple of examples again. The one we talked about in last class is how they did a study with identical twins. So identical twins have the same DNA, but they took identical twins. One of the identical twins was fat and one was thin. They took the bacteria from the intestines of the fat twin and they injected it in mice, and those mice gained weight. They took the bacteria from the intestines of the thin twin and injected it in mice. Those mice did not gain weight. Then they took the bacteria of the thin twin and injected it into the intestines of the mice that had gained weight, and those mice lost weight. That's because, I talked about this in last class, that's because the unfriendly bacteria is causing sugar cravings. The unfriendly bacteria is causing junk food cravings, whereas the friendly bacteria is not. The friendly bacteria wants to eat friendly food. And one of the simplest ways to cultivate friendly bacteria is to eat healthy foods or to eat real foods, because that's the bacteria, whatever you eat will cultivate your bacteria, because your unfriendly bacteria doesn't want healthy foods. Unfriendly bacteria wants unhealthy foods, and friendly bacteria wants friendly foods. So that's one of the easiest things you can do, and we'll talk a lot about solutions as we go on, but let me keep going just with presenting some of the many problems that we have. And then we'll go on to talk about some easy solutions. And believe it or not, the solutions are very easy, but you want to understand the concepts and the issues first. So some of the other things that can happen is through medications, through wheat, through gluten, through too much processed dairy, and through processed foods in general, we can develop something called leaky gut syndrome. So leaky gut syndrome is when certain man-made foods and medications cause tears in the intestines, in your small intestines, and those tears allow undigested food to pass into your bloodstream. So remember I said before, so digestion is the process of making foods smaller and smaller, breaking it down into smaller and smaller particles until the particles are so small that they can pass through the lining of your intestines into your bloodstream and then into your cells. But if you have tears in your intestines, then what happens is that the food that is not fully digested passes into your bloodstream. Now, food that is not fully digested that passes into your bloodstream, it could be healthy if it was digested properly, but because it's not digested properly, your bloodstream and your immune system recognizes it as a toxin. So it could be a healthy food, but if it's undigested, when it goes into your bloodstream, it is recognized as a toxin. And because it's recognized as a toxin, it overworks your immune system. It causes your immune system to fight the food because your body is tricked into thinking this food is not really food, but this food is a toxin. So your immune system is activated all the time. And an activated immune system will cause weight gain, as we'll talk about in a second. But this leaky gut is a huge issue where yeast, parasites, impaired digestion, accumulated toxins, inflammation, they all cause leaky gut, and then that further activates your inflammatory hormones and causes your body to gain weight. And the way it does it is because all a chronic low-grade activation of your immune system, what we've called before chronic low-grade inflammation, if you remember in the first class, chronic low-grade inflammation was associated with weight gain. That's because it activates your pro-inflammatory cytokines. And pro-inflammatory cytokines basically cause leptin and insulin resistance, which is something that we've touched on, but basically it causes your body to go into perpetual fat storage mode. And that's a vicious, vicious cycle. So that's a lot of information I'm giving you so far. We'll keep going in a second, but I'll bring Nadia in to answer some questions, because we are getting questions in the chat role, and also we've had some questions over the last week. So let me just bring Nadia in if I can.
Hi, John. Can you hear me?
Hi, Nadia. Yeah. How are you?
Hi. Great. I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Really good, thank you.
Great. Fantastic. So, yes, there are some questions, and there is a question from both Al and Nicola, and they're wondering, they both have their gallbladder removed.
Yeah.
And so Al wants to know, does that affect digestion? And
yes.
Nicola wants to know, are there special action steps to take?
Yes. Yes. It's a great question. And yes, it affects digestion. And yes, it affects weight. Very, very often when people get their gallbladder removed, the result is some weight gain. I recommend taking a digestive enzyme. We'll talk about digestive enzymes in a second. But there's different types of digestion enzymes. And if you've had your gallbladder removed, you want a digestive enzyme that has bile, ox bile in it, because the gallbladder helps your body produce bile, and so you're not producing bile the right way or enough. So you want to take a digestive enzyme with meals that has ox bile or any type of bile in it. Most digestive enzymes do not have bile. You want a digestive enzyme with bile. That's very important. Yeah.
Perfect. Thanks. Okay. And then Nina was wondering, do digestive enzymes aggravate colitis or acid reflux disease?
Do digestive? No. Now, again, I'm going to give you a non-medical opinion, so always check everything that we talk about with your healthcare provider. But no, digestive enzymes only make breaking down food easier. That's all they do. They support the immune system, and they make breaking down food easier. That's what digestive enzymes are meant to do. So they, from giving you my non-medical opinion, they absolutely can only help. Do you agree with that, Nadia?
Yeah, I do. I do agree. And continuing on the theme of digestive enzymes, I just wanted to share a comment that Tammy wrote, and she was sharing with us that her heartburn has improved since using digestive enzymes and probiotics in just this one week.
That's fabulous. So there's a reason for that, and thank you for adding that comment. Is it Tammy, did you say?
Tammy, yeah.
Yeah, Tammy, thank you for adding that comment. And there's a reason for that, and that's because that most heartburn is caused because you are not digesting the food properly in your stomach, either because you're not producing enough stomach acid or because you're not breaking the food down enough because you're not producing enough enzymes. So in your case, it's very likely that it was the enzymes that did that, and then the heartburn has been improved. So that you'll find with so many different digestive issues and chronic issues, but once you start healing your digestion.
Nice. Okay, so John, Anne was making a comment on something that you just recently said, and she wanted to know, can you define what too much dairy means?
Well, what I really mean by that is that processed dairy causes problems in general. And if you're having it all the time, if you're actually drinking milk that's processed or pasteurized dairy, if you're, and we'll talk about this in a couple of slides, but all, pasteurized dairy, like most processed food, is not recognized as a food to your body because it can't digest it properly. Whenever you pasteurize something or process something, you make it resistant to digestion. It's a really important point, and it's a point that we're going to talk a lot more about in a minute. But when you make something resistant to being broken down, or when you make it resistant to bacteria out in the outside world, it becomes resistant to being broken down in your inner world, in your internal world, in your digestion. And that causes your body to recognize it as a foreign invader, not as a food. And that activates your immune system and causes inflammation. And that's why you've heard so many times that dairy causes inflammation. So we try to look for alternatives to processed dairy, such as coconut milks and nut milks, coconut kefirs, yogurts, or if you're having cheese, raw cheese it does not have the same problems that pasteurized does. It's not as processed, so your body is more able to digest it. And in fact, it's really, really healthy. But if you're used to just drinking milk as a drink all the time, and in your cereal all the time, and your coffee all the time, it's going to add up, and it's going to cause problems. So always look for alternatives to milk when you can. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. And speaking of that, Emma was also wondering about milk. She was wondering your thoughts on oat milk and rice milk. Are they acceptable alternatives, as she really struggles with nut milk and she doesn't eat nuts of any sort?
Yeah, so they are acceptable with respect to that they are way more digestive and less inflammatory than dairy milk. So in that sense, yeah. But do read the ingredients, because often there's refined vegetable oils, which are problematic, or other sugars and syrups, and that is also problematic. So really you want something that's as clean as possible. Yeah?
Yeah, perfect.
Okay.
Great. Diane is wondering, is yogurt considered a processed dairy?
Well, yogurt, if you're using processed dairy to make the yogurt, then yeah, it is. That's why you can make yogurt out of coconut milk or nut milks, and kefirs also out of coconut milk and nut milk, and it's a little bit better. Now, yogurt, that being said, yogurt, if it has live bacteria, is on balance, is much better for you than just regular drinking milk, for several reasons. One, because it doesn't have the lactose, which is a sugar that's very hard to digest, and also because it's a sugar, causes problems. And because it's got friendly bacteria, if the bacteria is still active. So yogurt is still better. Sheep's yogurt and goat's yogurt are more friendly to digestion, more digestible than dairy yogurt. Certainly if it's organic, it's going to be that also much easier to digest. It's not going to have the antibiotics and the hormones that cause problems. So best off, if you're going to go for dairy and yogurt, is organic sheep's or goat's yogurt. That would be my choice. What do you think, Anya?
Yeah, that's perfect you said that, because Annalise just asked the question, what about goat cheese and goat kefir? So I agree with you that raw better than pasteurized, and goat or sheep better than cow. And
yeah,
then
goat,
of course
goat.
We've got all the nut and cheese nut and seed milk too that you can use.
You can get, like, one of my I love raw goat cheese. As a matter of fact, we're going to be talking in this class about ways to make some of our favorite foods healthier, such as crackers. So as we're going to talk about in a minute, the, crackers made of grains and especially wheat have gluten, and they're inflammatory, and you can't break them down, and they elevate your insulin levels, all kinds of bad things. But as you know, and as you often do, Nadia, we can make crackers out of healthy nuts and seeds by dehydrating vegetables. So I like to take vegetable or chia seed crackers, dehydrated vegetable crackers, dehydrated chia seed crackers. And Nadia, if you wouldn't mind just posting some of your favorite recipes for dehydrated, crunchy vegetable and nut and seed crackers. So one of my favorite crackers and cheese recipes is raw goat's cheese with either chia seed crackers or vegetable crackers. Now, here's a perfect example where we're not talking about calories. So you go have cheese and crackers, the normal cheese and crackers, it's going to have the same calories as my cheese and crackers. But the normal cheese and crackers that you buy off the shelf are going to cause all kinds of inflammatory reactions in your body, which are going to cause all hunger and junk food cravings, unfriendly bacteria, leptin resistance, insulin resistance. You're going to lose the ability to burn fat. Your set point is going to shift. All these hormonal consequences of the normal cheese and crackers. And so that's why it's not about how much fat should I have, how much sugar. It's about your digestion. So my cheese and crackers is going to be incredibly healthy to digest. The raw goat's milk cheese is going to have friendly bacteria because it's fermented. The chia seed crackers, so the chia seeds are going to be activated because they've been soaked. So there's healthy omega-3s, which are anti-inflammatory and reverse leptin and insulin resistance. It's got healthy fibers, got healthy vegetables, no hormonal consequences whatsoever, very easy to digest. That's how you want to develop. This is how it's just taking little tweaks like this. So you're eating all the cheese and crackers to your heart's content. And I remember I was driving down to Byron Bay, which is about a 5 or 6 hour drive, and I was just munching on cheese and crackers the whole time and loving it. And my body was loving it too. I didn't feel bloated afterwards. I didn't feel uncomfortable. I didn't feel tired. So that's what you want. You want to have foods that taste delicious, that don't have hormonal consequences. And Nadia, I know that's, you live that to the nth degree. One of the things I love so much about you and your lifestyle is you really live that. And that's really this understanding of digestion is all about. Yeah.
Yeah. And thanks for saying that. I definitely strive to be that, and I'm not at all perfect. I think we all know what it feels like when we eat something and it makes us feel tired and drained and not good versus when you eat something and you feel energized and light afterwards, which is the idea of this class and everything we're promoting here.
Yeah, and I think also, Nadia, it's really important that you say that about not being perfect, because it's an evolution. You and I have been evolving over the years. I've watched you and you've watched me. We've been evolving to the point where we're craving healthier and healthier. We're coming up with, every time you come up with a recipe for a healthy cracker or healthy cheese or an idea for a fermented food, it's like an asset. And you never lose it. So you just keep building assets and assets that help you nourish your body, love your lifestyle, love your food, love your body, and feel healthier and healthier and have the weight just fall off. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you feel great as you're doing it. So if things become more and more effortless, where at the beginning, sometimes it does take a bit of effort, but as you keep going and finding your rhythm with these things, it does get easier and a lot more enjoyable.
Well, you know, Nadia, that's why I say when you look at willpower and discipline, to me, if they were an Olympic sprinter athlete, they'd be a sprinter, not a marathon runner. You want to use your willpower, discipline to create healthy habits. That's where the effort in the beginning, but then there's no effort at all anymore. I mean, the cheese and crackers, but I would never go back to the old cheese and crackers. I wouldn't even touch them, not because I have all this willpower all of a sudden or all this discipline. No, my body rejects it. My taste buds reject it. I would never go back to that in a million years. Those are lies. Those are chemical lies that have tricked your brain and your taste buds, hijacked your taste buds, hijacked your bacteria in your intestines, and that's the situation you find yourself in. But that goes away. Would you ever eat normal cheese and crackers these days?
No, not. I can't remember the last time I ate a packaged cracker, and I've been at parties where they've been laid out, and they just don't appeal to me. Just the same thing that you were saying, you know, when you've got access to these other crackers that feel really light and easy in your body, And they're not only do they physiologically feel light and easy in your digestive system, they taste good too. So they're enjoyable. Yeah. So it's kind of this win-win. I'm not missing out on the taste of those other things. And you can figure out ways to create crackers that taste like some of your old favorites, which is fun too.
Yeah. And that's so much fun. And I can tell you that the food that I eat now satisfies me so much more than the food I used to eat and the food I used to be addicted to. I remember, when I was living in New York, working on Wall Street, 400 pounds, I'd go to a restaurant and I'd order all these different things. Nothing seemed to satisfy me. I had meatballs and pasta and pizza. And I just kept feeling more and more bloated. They call it stuffed and starved. I just kept feeling more and more bloated and never satisfied. I'm tired and then hungry afterwards. And then maybe I need a cake to balance me off. And none of that happens anymore. I feel much quicker. And I just have so much energy. I don't feel bloated afterwards. And I love the taste of the food. Anyway, we'll come back in a minute. You and I could talk forever because we're both very passionate about the same things. But let me keep going and talk about a couple of other problems that we have. And then we'll start looking for some solutions, okay?
Great. Sounds good, John.
Thanks, Nadia. Okay, so a lot of people talk about gluten. And I don't want to harp too much on it, but gluten's a problem because it actually acts like a glue. And in fact, if you want to make glue, you can add water and gluten, and it's a great way to make glue. But it clogs your digestion, it inflames your digestion, and causes that leaky gut that we just talked about. And as we just talked about, also dairy does too. Pasteurized milk. When you pasteurize anything, what you're doing is, here's a concept. And remember I said before in the beginning of this class, I really want you to listen to this point because we'll come back to it a couple of times in this class. But when this is a concept that I want you to really get down. So whenever you process a food or pasteurize a food, what are you doing? What you are doing when you are pasteurizing milk, what you are doing is you are heating it and changing the structure of it so that it's resistant to bacteria. And that's all logical enough. But if something is resistant to bacteria, now follow me here, if something is resistant to bacteria and then you eat it, and part of the job of digestion is your bacteria is supposed to break it down, well, it's going to be resistant to your bacteria as well, and you're not going to be able to digest it. And so if you're not able to digest something properly, it recognizes a foreign body and it causes inflammation. And that's the problem. So we talk about sometimes one solution is raw milk. And raw milk actually is illegal in many places. And so you have to be careful, and you have to be careful with it. The whole reason why they started pasteurizing milk is because people in the 1800s were getting tuberculosis from milk. But that's because the cows had tuberculosis. Now, there's this belief that if you don't pasteurize milk, you can get tuberculosis. That's only true if the cow has tuberculosis. And the cows were in horrendous circumstances back then, and they developed tuberculosis. Now, if you are getting raw milk, you need to know the source. You need to know that the cows are healthy and happy and don't have problems. And then you need to make sure that the milk doesn't go too long. But raw milk, especially raw milk cheese. One of the best things I think is raw milk cheese, because when you create a cheese, you're putting friendly bacteria in there to protect you and to protect the cheese and make it resistant from unfriendly bacteria. So it's a win-win, and then you're getting those friendly bacteria. So raw cheese, which is available in certain places, especially European cheeses, raw cheese is a real win. But not only with pasteurization, but really, it's the concept of processed food. So why is it that if you really look at what's considered healthy and what's not, you can see that it really comes down to the process of processing foods. Because when you process foods, you make it resistant to digestion. So if you look at what a food manufacturer wants to do. So if you are a food manufacturer and you are a multi-billion dollar company, no question about it, what do you want to do? So you want to make a food that's cheap to make, that has a very long shelf life, that doesn't need to be refrigerated, And then you want to put all kinds of chemicals in it that hijack your taste buds and hijack your pleasure centers in your brain so the person becomes addicted to it. So if you can do all those things, you are a winner as far as a food manufacturer. If you can create a food that's cheap to make, that has a long shelf life, doesn't need to be refrigerated, and you can get somebody to be addicted to it, you have won your side of it. But the problem is that's not necessarily in your best interest as a consumer. Your best interest as a consumer is to eat foods that taste great but also are healthy and allow you to be fit and lose weight and not have all kinds of different chronic illnesses. So there's an inherent conflict of interest, because whenever you make a food last longer on the shelf, that means that it's resistant to being digested and broken down by bacteria, which means it's going to be resistant to being broken down by the bacteria in your intestines. And this is the concept. When I talked in the beginning of the class, we want to talk about concepts. This is the concept. This is the key crux concept. There is an inherent conflict of interest between all processed foods and health, because processed foods are not able to be digested. Look at this food. I used to love these things as a kid when I was 5 years old. Fruit Loops. The same Fruit Loops that I ate when I was 5 years old, if you took a bowl of them from when I was 5 years old and you looked at it now, 40 some odd years later, it would look the same and probably be just as edible. It is not able to be broken down. It is just artificial colors, artificial flavors, and sugar, nothing else. Now, the sugar goes right into your bloodstream, no question about it. The second you eat it, it causes an exaggerated insulin response, which causes insulin resistance so that you go into perpetual fat storage mode and you lose the ability to burn fat. But the rest of it is non-digestible, elevates your inflammatory hormones, which causes your body to gain weight. So you have to really watch. So basically, big food, just like big pharma, they're all about profits, and you have to educate yourself, and that's what this class is about. You have to be the smart one. You have to figure this out. And this is a concept, and it's a really simple concept. Real food that existed as Mother Nature intended. If you were living on an island 10,000 years ago, whatever's there, you can digest it, and it's healthy. If it's in a package, you can't digest it. It's not healthy. It is really, really, really that simple. Now, that doesn't mean that from this day forward, you can never eat anything processed. But what it does mean, and we'll talk about this in a couple of minutes, what it does mean is you've got to get some real food into you. You've got to treat food as medicine, not just as calories and what should I have this calorie that. You've got to treat adding the real food as medicine. Another problem with modern day food is cooking. And that's not to say that you should eat everything raw either, but cooking does cause some problems, because when you cook something, whatever friendly bacteria were in it are going to be destroyed. Whatever digestive enzymes are in it are going to be destroyed. If it's a healthy fat, and it's not a processed fat, and it's not resistant to high temperatures, it's going to get destroyed. So you are eating something that's denatured. Again, hard to digest because it's been changed. It doesn't have any of the friendly things in it, and it's been changed. And most of the food we eat is processed and cooked. There's no question about it. I was on an airplane yesterday. What were they serving? They were serving a meat pie, right? It's all processed. You know, it's the pie and the process and microwaved also, which further denatured something. And people are chowing it down, and that's cool, but you were not digesting that stuff. So these are all problems that we have because we're in living in a modern-day life. And if you're living in a modern-day world and you're not conscious, and that's really what this class is about, is becoming conscious. If you're not conscious, if you're not educated, you are going to have problems. And so we've all acquired those problems. Now, many foods need to be cooked also, like broccoli, for example, and cruciferous vegetables. They need to be cooked. Meat, animal protein, you have to cook. But be careful not to overcook it. Don't microwave it. Don't char it. Don't deep fry it if you want to be more digestible. Now, you can do all those things if that's what you're craving, because we don't want to fight cravings per se, but we want to treat food as medicine too. So if you can do them in a slow cooker, if you can steam, if you can saute in healthy fats, that's probably better. Another thing that causes problems is high stress. So high stress, poor sleep, all of these different things, medications, chemically treated water, so water with chlorine in it, food additives, other chemicals, all these things wreak havoc on our digestion and our liver. So when you really look at all of these different things that are happening to our digestion, it's really easy to see how we have so many problems. And you almost want to ask yourself the question, how are we surviving? I mean, when you really understand the digestive quandary that's created by modern day life, it's a testimony, the fact that we're here and we're functioning, even though maybe we're overweight and we've got chronic health conditions, as is the norm for most people, the fact that we're alive and functioning is a miracle, in my opinion, and a testimony to how resilient our bodies are, and inspirational when you think about if we just give our bodies a little bit of help right now in digestion by eating more healthy foods and adding more healthy foods and doing other things that we'll talk about in a minute, how much your body can bounce back. And I'm living proof, as well as many other people that are part of the Gabriel Method, about how resilient our bodies can be. But digestive problems are not just about irritable bowel or heartburn or gas or any of the other things. Many, many other things are caused by digestive problems, such as skin problems, all types of allergies, asthma, chronic fatigue, all autoimmune issues, dizziness, fogginess, headaches, heartburn, emotional problems, cancers, diabetes, even though they're not listed here, can all be caused by digestive problems. Now, reversing digestive problems is not really hard when you understand the concept. In fact, if you understand the concept already, you don't need me to tell you the rest, but I'm going to, and that is, you have to eat more real foods. So, and you have to start adding some friendly digestive enzymes and some probiotics. And that is not really complicated to do. You basically, the first thing that you want to do, and this is why the digestion class turns into a nutrition class, is you're going to be able to answer for yourself. If you understand the concepts, you're going to be able to answer for yourself, is this healthy or is this not healthy? Because the first thing you want to ask yourself is it digestible or is it not digestible? And the answer to that question is it processed or not? Is it processed? Is it refined? Is it pasteurized? Is it chemical? Is it on a shelf in a pretty package with hundreds of millions of dollars of commercials behind it to get you to buy it, then it's probably not digestible. Did it exist in an island 10,000 years ago? If you were stranded on an island, an uninhabited island right now, does it exist there? Then the answer is yes. If it existed there, it's good for you. And it's digestible, and it could help reverse bad digestion. So you want to eat more live foods. Salads, you want to add salads as medicine. Chia seeds, if they're soaked so that they're activated, and flax seeds, if they're ground down, they're good because they're a healthy type of fat. You want to have probiotics, which we talk about, and you want to eat digestive enzymes with meals when you can. The more you do it, the better, but if you can only do it once a day, you don't have to carry them with you, but if they're home, that's great. Take them when they're home. You want to eat live food has digestive enzymes. So live greens, live salad greens have lots of digestive enzymes. Basically, what you want to be doing is you want to be adding salad as medicine. So what I talked about this a couple of times, what Coach Heather always talks about is putting your food on top of a salad. I think that's a great idea. So organic greens and sprouts. Put your food on top of organic greens and sprouts, and that's a great, great start. Also, if we go to the previous slide for just 1 minute, where it says avoid refined vegetable oils. So we'll talk about fats in a second. But when I say avoid them, that doesn't mean you can't have fat. It means replace them with healthy fats, and we'll get to that. And that's a really, really important point. We talked about in the last class a little bit, and we'll get to that. So friendly bacteria, you want to eat as much food as possible that has friendly bacteria because friendly bacteria will help repopulate your intestines with the right bacteria and crowd out the bad bacteria. There may be a rebellion in the beginning. So a lot of times when you have really healthy foods that are full of friendly bacteria, you experience bloating and gas. And that's not because it's bad for you. It's actually because the unfriendly bacteria, which has taken a foothold into your intestines and taking up the space of your intestines is fighting back. The unfriendly bacteria is rebelling. It doesn't like it. So you want to keep adding that friendly bacteria. You want to keep adding that friendly bacteria. So let's take a couple of questions right now, and then we'll get into different ways to add friendly bacteria and different other suggestions.
Hi, John.
Hi. I know you're getting lots of questions there.
Yeah. Just what you were saying there about the gut flora, Tammy actually was saying the same thing. She said as new flora begins to balance, she's had some loose stools, and she's assuming that that's part of the battle for dominance in her gut.
Yeah.
And the
it's
combination
the battle
of
for dominance.
Right.
Well,
and she,
well
she goes
said,
on to say that the combination of literally all of a sudden levels of fiber. She wanted to comment on that. And so it's great that you brought that up because a lot of people are experiencing that. And I've
it's
experienced
a turf war.
That too.
Yeah, I have to. It's a turf war. It's a turf. Think of it as no different than like if you were to go to a hostile neighborhood where everybody's the same gang. And then you come in, they're going to be really hostile to you. You're a threat. Then you bring all your friends and your gang, and then there's a war, and then you guys overthrow them, and then they go somewhere else. It's sad to think of it that way, but it's important to think of it that way because when you have foods that have lots of friendly bacteria, and you experience digestive issues, the first thing we're accustomed to experience when we have symptoms is, oh, that's bad for me, and then you think there's something wrong, but no, it's bad for your unfriendly bacteria. It's not bad for you. You got to recognize that you and your unfriendly bacteria have a conflict of interest. Your unfriendly bacteria is trying to get you to eat those fruit loops, those fruit loops that I just showed you. It's trying to get you to eat all the refined sugars, but your bacteria, your body doesn't want that, and you don't want that. So there's a war going on, and you got to recognize that. And Tammy has experienced that, and you all will too, possibly when you start to eat more fermented foods. Nadia and I know this because Nadia and I talk a lot, and Nadia and I both live a fermented lifestyle is what I would say. Wouldn't you say that as in the sense that you're getting as many foods, variations of foods as possible that have friendly bacteria? Would you agree with that? Would you say you're living a fermented lifestyle?
Yeah, I definitely try to. and do that, and it really does help.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah, and Tammy just commented, she's laughing, saying, oh boy, that rebellion is real. And
yeah, the rebellion.
And I can relate. Yeah, I know exactly what she's talking about.
For sure.
Okay, yeah. So when we were talking about dairy earlier, Anne just wanted to clarify with you. She says, "So you mean not too much pasteurized dairy?"
Yes, I do mean that. Yeah, that's what I mean.
Good.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Okay, and Tina is wondering, what do you mean when you say the set point will change or shift?
Yes. So set point. So we've all experienced this at one time or another where your body has a set point. The set point is the weight at which your body, what it seems like your body wants to be. So let's say, let's use it just a round number, 150 pounds. Let's say your body wants to be 150 pounds. Well, you may have experienced this where if your body is 160 pounds, you're not that hungry, you're not thinking about food that much. And then all of a sudden you go back to the set point of 150 pounds and then you're good. Now, if you go down to 140 pounds or 130 pounds, and I know we've all experienced this, where we forced our body to be lower than our set point, you're hungry all the time. You're craving junk food all the time. You're thinking about food all the time until you get back to that 150 pounds. Now, that's called a set point. And many people and doctors even talk about a set point, but nobody really talks about the science of what your set point is. They talk about it as genetics. It's not really just genetics. What it is it's a program that's based on certain chemical signals in your body. So, and that set point can shift. For example, from an 11-year period from 1990 to 2001, my set point kept shifting and shifting and shifting toward heavier and heavier and heavier, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. Then when I shifted my set point back, I became, quote, an effortlessly thin person, but the way to lose weight and keep it off is by shifting your set point. And the way you shift your set point is by reversing leptin resistance. Without getting too far into the chemistry of what that means, suffice it to say that everything we talk about, when you reduce chronic low-grade stress, when you reduce chronic low-grade inflammation, you are improving your body's sensitivity to the hormone leptin, and that shifts your set point. Leptin resistance shifts your set point toward fatter. Increasing leptin sensitivity shifts your set point toward being thinner. So all these things we talk about, inflammation and stress, they shift your set point because they make your body resistant to the hormone leptin. So that's really what this, everything we're doing in this class is the science of reversing leptin resistance, which is the same as the science of shifting your set point so that your body wants to be thin. And that's what I mean when I say that you're how to get your body to want to be thin. Does that make sense, Nadia?
Yeah, it does make sense. And the nice thing about it is once you start following the action steps, you don't have to necessarily understand the science. Your body will just do everything it knows how to do.
Exactly.
So Anne has a question about digestive enzymes, and she's wondering, do digestive enzymes help to break down fat, as she has so much cellulite, she says. She knows this might have to do with being leptin resistant, like you were just saying.
Yeah, so digestive enzymes help your digestion, and they help your immune system. And because they help your digestion and they help your immune system, they will help your body burn fat and reduce fat. If you're talking about just the act of breaking down fat in your digestion when you're eating, yes, digestive enzymes help with that. Specifically, the digestive enzyme lipase helps break down the fat that you're eating, if that's what you're asking. But if you're talking about the fat on your body, it all helps you break down the fat on your body because it helps improve your digestion and reduce inflammation. And as we just talked about, it's digestive problems and inflammatory problems that cause your body to hold on to weight. Does that make sense?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, it definitely does. Okay. Andrea said that she has discovered fermented chlorella, and she's wondering about your thoughts on that.
That's got to be great. So chlorella is one of the healthiest things you can eat because it's so full of nutrients. Also helps the body detoxify from heavy metals. To have it be fermented means it's more digestible. So I'd have to look into what it is that you're using. But in concept and theory, that's got to be really good.
Yeah. Okay. And then Annalise said she is asking about collagen. She said Dr. Axe recommends collagen to help leaky gut. And she was wondering about your thoughts on that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Collagen helps leaky gut. Bone broth is very good for helping leaky gut. And collagen is also helpful for healing leaky gut. That's what they say, for sure.
Right. And then Anahi has a question about gluten. She says there are some doctors and nutritionists who say undigested gluten is the problem and not the gluten itself, and that a completely gluten-free diet can actually damage the digestive system. What's your opinion?
Yeah, no, I don't agree with that at all. I do not agree with that at all, that a gluten-free diet can damage your digestive system, because thousands of years ago we didn't eat gluten and we survived. So how is that possible? Right. So that we need, you know, the implication that you need gluten to survive, I absolutely do not agree with that. Yeah. Okay, let's take one other question, and then we've got still more ground to cover.
Okay. Tina, she says, thank you so much for your explanation about the set point. And she says she notices that as she successfully puts all the action steps into place, she's beginning to crave ice cream, milk, and yogurt, yet she doesn't usually crave these foods ever.
So I want to talk to you, Tina, in the question and answer session, if it's at all possible, you know, in 48 hours when we have our question and answer session, if it's possible for you to call in and talk to me. I really want to talk to you and find out what's going on, because it's one of two things. Either there's an emotional issue that's being triggered by the fact that you're losing weight, and because the emotional issue hasn't been addressed yet, and that's something we'll talk about in the next class. If the emotional issue hasn't been addressed, then it's losing weight is going to be a threat to your system. So as you start to lose weight, you're threatening your system on an emotional level, and we need to find out if that's what's happening. Or it could be a threat to your unfriendly bacteria, and so your bacteria is starting to rebel. Or there could be a misapplication of the principles. So that's why I want to talk to you and find out what's going on for you. Okay?
Perfect. Great, Tina. So I hope you can call in the next class.
Okay, cool. Okay. Let me keep going, Nadia. And then we can
Okay, great. Thanks, John.
All right, thanks. Yeah, so friendly bacteria, so you want as much fermented food as possible. Now, we talked about yogurt and the pros and cons of having pasteurized yogurt, so safe raw dairy, raw yogurt's best, or goat or sheep yogurt, or coconut yogurt or nut seed yogurts. Kefirs are very similar to yogurt, bacteria. Sauerkraut, kimchi, other fermented vegetables. I eat fermented vegetables all the time. I treat it as medicine. So if it's not going to work in my food, that is, it's not going to it's going to dominate the taste, I'll just have it as medicine. So I'll just have some kimchi or some sauerkraut, a forkful of it before a meal. Now, fermented miso is good if it's organic, non-GMO, or fermented soy. Most soy products are not good for you. Soy milk is very problematic. Tofu is very problematic, especially if they're not organic, because they may be genetically modified. But if it's organic and fermented, like tempeh, miso, and tamari, they've got some friendly bacteria. Nutritional yeast has friendly bacteria. Pickles that are not pasteurized, preserved vegetables that are not pasteurized. Lassi is just a combination of mango and some yogurt. But basically, you want to get as much fermented veggies and fermented foods as possible to start increasing the numbers. You want to beef up the numbers of friendly bacteria in your intestines. Now, you want to cook with stable saturated fats. So stable saturated fats means ghee, which is clarified butter, or organic grass-fed butter, or cold-pressed coconut oil. Avocado oil is good, too. These are all oils that are stable at high temperatures, because when you cook at high temperatures, the oil gets corrupted. But if you cook with these fats that I'm mentioning, stable saturated fats, they don't get corrupted. Now, if you cook with vegetable oil, that's been refined. That's the same problem as every other pasteurized or refined or processed food, is that it doesn't digest well and it causes inflammation. So you want to avoid vegetable oils and replace them with these oils that I just mentioned: ghee, organic butter, coconut oil, cold pressed coconut oil, preferably organic. And you want to cook with those oils. That's one of the best bangs for the buck, because it's going to taste better, and it's going to help you lose weight versus gain weight. Simply because of how digestible it is and how one is inflammatory and one isn't. So getting your fats right is really, really important. I talk a lot about things like chia seed oil and chia seeds, but you don't want to cook with them. You want to have them as salad dressings or in chia puddings and things like that, because they also will get corrupted at high temperatures. So when you're cooking, you want to cook with the stable saturated fats, and you want them to be cold pressed. You want to find alternatives to processed foods, such as snack crackers, cookies, chips. There's lots of different alternatives to these foods. You can make dehydrated veggie crackers, dehydrated nut and seed crackers. You can use almond flours and coconut flours and almond meal and chia bran and all these different things for flours. You can use healthier sugars like stevia, coconut palm sugar, organic, unrefined honey. These are kind of some of the sugars you can eat. So you want to start adding more real ingredients or more whole ingredients, more unpasteurized ingredients, raw ingredients. This is what you want to do. There's a lot of them in our recipe book, as we talked about. Nadia is always posting great ones. And I invite you all to share any of the recipes you have, especially for things like wraps and crackers and muffins and cakes and pancakes. We often make pancakes using coconut flour and banana, maybe a little bit of almond flour, some eggs. Really, coconut flour, banana, and eggs is a good base for a pancake. And use a little coconut oil to cook it with, and now you've got a really healthy pancake. So just examples of different foods that you can get. But in general, this is my main point, and this is where it comes down to concepts. Anything that existed 10,000 years ago in its natural state is probably more digested. Our bodies know how to digest organic, grass-fed, real meats, fish, chicken, eggs, salads, nuts, seeds, fruits, herbs. Our body knows how to digest all that. Now, fruit, there's a lot of controversy about fruit. Because of the fructose, but most of the studies that have been done with fructose have been done with high fructose corn syrup, which is very toxic, very high processed, very inflammatory, and also causes a lot of problems. But if fruit is not over raw or dried, or overripe, so when fruit becomes overripe or dried, the level of fructose becomes too high. But if it's not overripe, if you look at a banana, for example, a green banana has no sugar, and an overripe banana's got 24 grams of sugar. That's just an example. But if it's just nice, ripe fruit, your body knows how to digest it. It's got antioxidants, it's got minerals, it's got vitamins, it's clean. So fruit's really good. Just real, you want to add real natural foods as medicine. Treat it as medicine. When you're shopping, you want to shop the perimeter of the store, the perimeter meaning the refrigerated and frozen part. And I don't mean frozen as in necessarily frozen pizza or frozen TV dinners. I mean real foods that have to be refrigerated and frozen, otherwise they're going to go bad. So you want to shop there. That's where the real foods are, and you want to treat it as medicine. One of the best things you can do is have green juices. Why? Because green juices, when you juice greens, it makes it very easy to digest. So when we have impaired digestion, we are starving on a cellular level for vitamins and minerals and nutrients, and that cellular starvation causes you to stay hungry. So having a green juice means that you've extracted all the nutrients. They don't need any digestion at all. You drink it, it goes right into your bloodstream, right into your cells. So having a green juice, it also helps detoxify you. Having a green juice is great. So like my favorite is I'll put celery, cucumber, some Swiss chards, maybe some kale every once in a while, not every day, parsley, cilantro, spinach, maybe some mint. I'll put some lemon and ginger in there and some salt, a healthy salt, and some cayenne pepper. Having a green juice is magic to help with the digestion. Now, the reason why I say green is, and this is where it comes back to this fruit issue, is that you want your juices to be mainly green and not sweet. So things like carrots, beets, and fruit, you want to eat carrots, beets, and fruits, but you do not want to juice carrots, beets, and fruits because the sugar goes into your bloodstream too quickly and causes a similar problem to the problem that you get with high fructose corn syrup. Which is that sugar going into your system too quickly. So you do not, and that's why a lot of the juice people, you know, the juice experts, they make a mistake, I think, when they do their 90-day juice cleanses, et cetera, when there's too much fruit in there. So you want it to be mostly greens, as I mentioned, like celery, cucumbers, lettuce, spinach, kales. You want it to be greens, and then look to make it taste good through making it savory. Here's just a couple other suggestions. You want to chew your food really, really well because there's digestive enzymes in your saliva, so that activates your digestion. You want to be calm and centered when you're eating. Take a moment and breathe and relax before you eat. Make everything as much as possible, add an organic salad. When I say organic salad, add organic lettuce leaves, green leaves, sprouts. They are really, really good. Add them as medicine to your food. Let's talk about action steps for this week. So action steps, if you can get a green juice, either you juice it yourself or go to Whole Foods. Now, if you go to a juice place and you ask them for a juice, don't just look at what they make off the shelf as their prepackaged juices, because they're trying to sell you the juice, and it's going to be loaded with apples and fruits and carrots and beets, and it all tastes yummy, but it's not necessarily going to work to your advantage. Tell them what you want. Every juice place in the world has celery, cucumber, and lemon. So start with that, or celery, lemon, and ginger, rather. Start with that. Any juice place will have celery, lemon, ginger. If they have cucumber, if they have other vegetables, look at all the greens that they have, and then make your own juice out of greens, or juice yourself out of greens. But if you can get a juice once a day, either first thing in the morning or late afternoon, it's going to work miracles for you. Treat it as medicine. You're not going on a juice cleanse. You're not cutting everything else out. But I'll tell you, if you have green juices on a daily basis, you're not going to be craving that Fruit Loops anymore or any other junk, because it's going to be nauseating to your system because you've got all that health in you, and your body's getting healthier. And the healthier your body gets, the healthier your food craves. That's really what Nadia and I talk about all the time in this evolution of your body, of getting healthier and healthier. The healthier your body is, the healthier the foods you crave. So the action steps, if you do get a green juice in as an action step on a daily basis, either you make it yourself or find a place nearby your office or work that does it, that's great. Take digestive enzymes if you can with meals. The most generic digestive enzyme is suitable for most people. That's you just want a vegetarian digestive enzyme that's full spectrum. That's what you would ask for if you were at the health food store, just a vegetarian digestive enzyme that's full spectrum. If you have a gallbladder problem, if your gallbladder is removed, you want a digestive enzyme that has bile. If you have heartburn and you do not have a hiatal hernia, that is, your doctor has not told you you have a hiatal hernia, that may be that you're not producing enough acid, stomach acid, so you would want a digestive enzyme with some sort of acid like HCl or betaine. So digestive enzymes will work wonders for you. The morning visualization that I want you to do this week is the digestion visualization. So you're swapping out the morning visualization that you were listening to before, the burn fat now, and you're listening to the digestion visualization. So really, those are the three new action steps: so green juice, digestive enzymes, and swapping out the morning visualization for the digestion visualization. Then we have the ongoing steps. You want to do the evening visualization. The morning visualization is going to be the digestive visualization. You still want to take probiotics, drink healthy liquids, eat healthy Gabriel method foods, keeping your blood sugar stable throughout the day. And those are the action steps. So that's it. And it basically, it's really, as I said, a very simple to understand concept. And that is, our digestion is not complicated. It's a tube. You just got to get that tube right. And to get the tube right, you need to eat the way we were meant to eat, the way we ate thousands of years ago. So you want to keep adding healthier foods with friendly bacteria and live foods and real foods and unprocessed foods and unrefined and cold-pressed. As much as possible, add them for health's sake. Take the digestive enzymes, take the fermented foods, take the probiotics, take the bone broth and the collagens, the green juices. And it will heal your digestion, which will reduce the inflammation, which will shift your set point so that your body doesn't want to hold on to that excess weight. Basically, this whole process of what we call leptin resistance is, when you have leptin resistance, your brain actually does not know how much fat you're carrying because it's getting blocked from getting the real message. So when you reduce all this inflammation and stress, your brain gets the message you're carrying them too much weight, and your brain goes, oh my God, where'd all this extra weight come from? In reality, you always had the weight, but your brain didn't know it, and that's what exactly was happening. Now your brain's going, "Oh, we have extra weight. We have to get rid of that weight." And that's really what you're doing. And then what you'll probably tell me from next week, many of you will say, "I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm not that hungry anymore. I don't want to eat breakfast. This and that." That's all good. That's this process of shifting your set point, is getting your body to the point where you're just not that hungry anymore. When you're not that hungry anymore, it's because your body wants to let go of weight, and when your body wants to let go of weight, you are home free. So everything that we're doing right now, we're not counting calories, notice that. We're not focusing on restriction. We're getting your body to the point where it wants to let go of weight. That's how you lose weight on a sustainable basis. That's what this whole class is about, and that's what we're doing. So that's it for this week. I will we'll bring Maddie in for just a couple of minutes. We're going to have to finish in about 5 minutes, so we'll just bring Maddie in for a couple more questions. And then any other follow-up questions, we can talk about in 47 hours from now. We'll have a live question and answer, and I will be more than happy to answer your questions there. Okay?
Hi,
so
Dad.
Let's bring Nadia in again. Hi.
Hi. Emma's wondering, are there tests available for leaky gut syndrome?
Yeah, there are. If you go to a naturopath or a doctor that studies functional medicine, I believe there are some tests that they can do to determine leaky gut, yeah. But
great.
That being said, leaky gut is, I would say 99% of us suffer from leaky gut if we're not very, very, very conscious of how to heal leaky gut. Because anytime you have inflammation in your gut, it's going to stretch your intestines like a balloon, and that's going to create little rips and tears in your intestines.
Yeah. And digestion is involved with so much of our health that if we really focus on these action steps and healing our digestion, a lot of other things will get healed in the meantime.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sue has a question. She says, I've worked out one of the reasons for my latest weight gain started around 3 years ago when I had a couple of seizures that the doctors have not been able to diagnose, but now I take anti-seizure tablets. As I am unable to stop these tablets, what can I do to help my situation?
Oh, you just keep doing the action steps that we're doing, and they'll counteract it. You know, it's like the question about dairy, right? So how much dairy should we have? Well, if you're having dairy all day, you're drinking milk all day, you're having it in your cereal all day, and this is, you know, it's going to cause a problem. If there's a little bit every once in a while, you can counteract it with the green juices and the friendly bacteria. It's a balance in your intestines of how much friendly and unfriendly bacteria you have, for example. All these things are a balance. So this is something you have to do, but you can counteract it with all these different action steps that we're talking about.
Yeah, perfect. Donna has an interesting question. She is a long-distance swimmer who trains in a pool, probably swallowing a lot of chlorine. Does that affect her digestion?
I've often thought about that because I like swimming too. It probably does, but it'd be really good to take probiotics after you're swimming, you know, an hour or two after swimming, to try to counteract that.
Yeah, great. And then Anahi, she asked a question and made a comment about something that you were just talking about, so I wanted to maybe finish up with that one. She says, the ongoing healthy habits include eating frequent meals and snacks. What if we're not hungry to eat frequent meals and snacks? Is it bad, for example, if I eat two or three times? And she said that happened to her last weekend. She just wasn't hungry at all, so just like what you were saying.
Yeah, so that's exactly, it's a really important point, Anahi. When you get to the place where you're not hungry, don't eat. Even if you're not, like, sometimes you might find that you're going to go hours and hours. In theory, and there's always this debate, should you have a good breakfast or should you do what's called intermittent fasting, which means you don't eat until 11 or 12. The answer is that in theory, going long periods of time without eating is better for you and helps facilitate weight loss, but only if you're not hungry all the time. And when you regain the ability to stabilize your blood sugar, when you regain the ability to burn fat, you are not that hungry anymore, and you can go long periods of time without eating. And that is the time to not eat. So if you're not hungry anymore, we're trying to get you to that place where you're not hungry anymore, then yes, do not eat. As long as when you are hungry, you're not craving junk food, yeah, especially in the morning. If you're not hungry in the morning and you don't crave junk food when you are hungry, then yeah, go long periods of time. I sometimes don't eat until 11 or 12 because I'm not hungry. I might have a green juice or some super greens. That's actually really healthy as long as you're not craving junk food later in the day. So if the junk food cravings are gone, then yeah, throw all that out the window. You want to transition to a place where you just let your body do its job because it's burning fat, it's working for you, and you just eat when you want.
That's beautiful.
Really
and
important
Julie,
point. Yeah.
Yeah. And Julie also said, you know, if you aren't hungry, say at breakfast or typical mealtime, should you not eat? So great, you answered the question as well.
The answer is absolutely yes, as long as you're not craving junk food when you do eat.
Right.
So if you're craving junk food when you do eat, then you need to still be proactive with your eating. Otherwise, the best thing to do is to eat early in the evening or afternoon, and then if you're not hungry in the morning, going till 10, 11, even 12 o'clock by having green juices and super greens or something like that. If you're not hungry, then that's really, really healthy for weight loss. There's no question about it. But you have to get to the place where you're not hungry anymore. And if you've gotten to that place, then yeah, just enjoy it and keep going with the process because it's working for you.
Nice. John, yeah. Anne is wondering if she said, should we get our leptin levels checked or tested?
No, it doesn't matter because everything that we're doing, because there's two components to your leptin. It's the level and it's also how sensitive your brain is to the leptin. So, and that's very hard to test, how sensitive right. your brain is to leptin. And that's the most important thing, is how sensitive your brain is to leptin. So, and even if your leptin levels are too high, what are they going to do about it anyway? So the important thing is to reverse leptin resistance by reducing stress and inflammation. And that makes your brain more sensitive to leptin, and then everything happens on its own. And then you get to this place, like Anahi says, where you're just not that hungry anymore. So that's what you want to be doing, is you want to be addressing the chronic stresses, chronic inflammations, low-grade inflammations, nourishing yourself. Everything we're doing, basically, is reversing leptin resistance, which is more important than checking your leptin levels. Yeah.
Nice. Yep. Perfect.
Okay, cool. We'll take one more question, and then we'll continue the question and answer in a couple of days.
Okay. So Julie asked a question about sugars. She said she doesn't like the taste of stevia, and right now she's using a combination of coconut sugar and xylitol. Is this okay?
Yeah, xylitol is not great. You know, I recommended xylitol for a long time, and I've recently changed that because it can cause problems with your digestion. So it's okay. Maybe try a little bit of unprocessed organic honey with the coconut palm sugar. You could try that, or and just kind of wean yourself off of the xylitol a little bit over time, because even though it doesn't elevate your blood sugar, it does cause digestive problems if taken in large quantities.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Yeah, cool. All right, so we'll do the question and answer session in 47 hours from now, 2 days, and be more than happy to talk to you, or you can just put questions in the chat room. Nadia will be here to help. So remember, once again, the important point is not to memorize everything. The important point of this class is a theory, and that is the theory is that nature is good for your digestion. Man-made is not good for your digestion. That's the reality. So you want as much nature as possible, and you want to follow the action steps. This class is all about action steps. We added 3 action steps this week. You want to follow your action steps. That's where you get the most out of this class, is from the action steps. So go back, review the action steps. If you have any questions, and we will talk about them in 2 days, or post them in the members area or the Facebook area, and we'll speak to you there. We'll answer them there. Okay? I hope you guys have a great couple of days, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you, Nadia, Shannon, Aaron, Amir, all of our customer service, and everyone. And we'll speak to you soon. Take care.